provided you some copy of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And there's a couple verses that I want to just draw your attention to before we talk a little bit about Hezekiah and his prayer. But I want us to think about Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And this is a copy of the New Living Testament, and it's a New Living Testament because it's so easy to understand. But he said, "Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." The King James Version, which I, be honest with you, I don't use, but says, "By his stripes we are healed." And I realize that there are different levels of belief and faith that's represented tonight. I fully understand that. But I also fully understand that we need faith. And I would challenge you to pick up one of those business cards back there. And you can call the church or my phone, cell phone number, 779-2235. And if you want that at the end of the service, I would be glad to give it to you. But I'd love to sit down with every young person in here and talk to you individually, as a group. I don't care. I hate McDonald's, but I don't even care if we go to McDonald's, because it's all about how we end this life. It's not how we begin it. It's how we end it. I talked to someone this week, and I was sharing with Doug earlier, and we were talking about faith, and he says, "Well, I'm an agnostic." Agnostic is a person that doesn't believe they believe something, but they don't believe there's a God. They're not sure what they believe. And I told him, I said, "I would rather live my life the way I live mine and be wrong then take a chance that you're right." The Bible teaches us that there's a hell to be shunned and a heaven to be gained. I believe that. We may not understand all of it. We may not understand everything's involved with it. I don't. But I understand enough to get there. That's all he asked. And you might think, "Well, he just looks like some old guy with gray hair." And you know what? He is. But I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I can even remember it. Good days, great days to live. But I'm thankful for where I am today. And I didn't get here alone. So I mentioned earlier, our real main purpose is here tonight is to pray for Jake, and we're going to do that. But I want to take a look at some things, and this is from the second chapter of Kings. And it's verse 19, and it talks about a king in Israel, and his name was Hezekiah. He was a good king. He was a faithful king. And they had so many leaders. And there's so many leaders in the world today that aren't that good. And a lot of nations wanted to attack Hezekiah's kingdoms. And he was constantly developing a battle plan. It was the same battle plan that he developed over and over and over again. But he always did one thing. He went to prayer before the Lord to see what God would have him to do. We're fortunate today that we have the Bible and we can know God's will. They didn't necessarily have that, you know, that privilege. So one point, and it's in chapter 18 of 2 Kings, that there comes a time when some of the kings had launched some type of smear campaign against Hezekiah. And they went to his people, and Hezekiah told his people, he said, "Don't believe a thing that they say." They kept taunting the kingdom, throwing, you know, threats at him. They even sent a messenger to Hezekiah, which said, "The Assyrians are tough and they're coming for you next." One of the incredible things about the kingdom of Hezekiah was he was never defeated. His kingdom was never taken down. So there's some things that you have in your hand out there that were some bold things that Hezekiah did. And it's interesting when we look at those that we think about them and we look at them. And one of the things that he said was that he got alone with God. There's one thing for corporate prayer, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray together. That's what we do at church. There's going to be prayer where a few are gathered. Small groups. And sometimes the most effective time that we pray is when we get alone with God. And we may sit there and think, "Well, I don't know what to say." Say the first thing that comes to your mind. But that's where life will serve you well, when you invest time with God. Hezekiah's prayer was immediate. And it talks about it in chapter 19. I just want to read this. It said, and this is after the Assyrians presented these letters to Hezekiah. And he said, "Hezekiah took the letters from the messengers and read them. Then he went to the temple and spread them out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Lord God of Israel, you sit enthroned on the winged creatures. You alone are God over the earth's kingdoms. You made both heaven and earth. Lord, turn your ear this way and hear. Lord, open your eyes and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words. He sent them to insult the living God. It's true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have destroyed many nations and their lands. The Assyrians burned the gods of those nations with fire because they weren't real gods. They're only man-made creations of wood and stone. That's how the Assyrians could destroy them. So now, the Lord our God, please save us from his power. Then all the earth's kingdoms will know that you, Lord, are the only true God." And so what he did is he took those letters and he took them and threw them on the altar. And as he got alone with God, he prayed. But the second thing that he did was that his prayer was immediate. It wasn't an afterthought. As soon as he thought about it, he wasn't out thinking, "Well, should I pray, should I not?" Sometimes we are so geared to react to what's going around about us, it's hard to put God first. I'm that way. Just because I'm the pastor of this church doesn't mean that I've got it all together. I face life just like you face life. I face challenges just like you face challenges. This is not the prettiest job in the world. But I wouldn't trade it. And I wouldn't trade it anywhere else. But we need to develop that discipline of prayer and a habit of really turning to God first. We need to follow what Hezekiah did. He said his prayer was immediate. One of the big words that we hear today is transparent. I sat in a meeting today of other pastors with the district superintendent. He said, I want to be transparent. I like that. And one of the things about Hezekiah's prayer was he was open and honest. He just laid it on the line. I love what the imagery is here when we take a look at it. Because imagine this in your mind with you. He took that letter that he had gotten. And I could imagine, I wouldn't be too surprised he didn't wad it up like we would when we get a letter that we don't like. We wad it up and throw it away. But the Bible said he spread it out before God. That's the imitation, the visual image that I get. And he's laying that out and he said, okay, God, what do I do next? What's the next move that I should make? Where do I take this? He was in a tough spot. Folks, we're in a tough spot. Jake's in a tough spot. And I've said this before. And I firmly believe it. It's not over till God says it's over. He says our days are ordained by him. For a person that believes in God and they die, and I'll tell you a secret, none of us get out of here alive. It's not fair for a 20-year-old not to get out of here. I'm not to stay, but to have to get out of here. I'll be the first one to admit that. As I mentioned, there's cards back there. I would encourage you to take them, you know, and use them. And if it's nothing more than putting down there, God, this is what my struggles are. This is where I'm hurting. You don't have to sign them. We got prayer cards up here on the altar now that not a one of them are signed. It's not what it's all about. God knows your heart. But writing it down for a request really is good for two reasons. Number one, it helps you remember. Helps us to remember who to pray for. But it also helps you see God answer prayers. We have prayed for people here that have been healed. We have prayed for people here that aren't healed yet. That doesn't change my faith. It doesn't change my belief. Hezekiah's prayer was honoring, humble, and respectful to God. Hezekiah was a king, but yet he knew what his place was. And he knew what God's place was. And he knew he wasn't God. He knew he was the king of a nation. But he willingly humbled himself before God and said, what do I do next? I have no idea. So his prayer was honoring. His prayer was humble. But I thought the next one was really interesting because it was bold. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord. He had that kind of relationship with God that didn't bother God when he come to him, you know, to talk that away. Then throughout the day he had prayed. He had that relationship with God that would allow him to go, as the Bible says many people did, boldly to the throne and ask God to do things. And we're going to ask God boldly tonight. Do I know the outcome? I don't. But I know that the Bible says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hezekiah's prayer was dependent. In verses 17 and 18 he says, "It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to these nations and their lands." Hezekiah knew he was out of his league facing the Assyrians. The Assyrian had the strongest army of the time. And I don't think it mattered much to Hezekiah what the battle was. It doesn't matter much to a Christian what the battle is. We may battle cancer, but it's not too big for God. Hezekiah's prayer was certain. He based it on his personal faith and trust in God. And he prayed, and he believed, and he trusted God. He was a man of faith, and he believed that. So what I want to encourage you tonight to do is to believe, number one. We're going to pray. You can pray any way you want. I'm going to lead in prayer, and then we're going to go from there. We'll hear about Jake. There's another thing that I'm very impassioned about. It's a heroin issue. It's going on around us. You probably didn't have an opportunity to see Sunday's paper. But there's an article in there, and it said there were 137 drug overdoses in Butler County in the first 9 months of 2015. 108 were blamed on heroin, according to the Butler County Coroner's Office. At the current rate, there would be 183 total overdoses and 144 heroin-related deaths at the both records for the county. And folks, those aren't the records that we need. It says just 6 years ago, there were 7 heroin-related deaths in the county, meaning the death rates have jumped 1,957% since 2010. That's just ridiculous. And I think that we can overcome that. So I want you to pray about that. And Nancy asked me tonight. My wife asked me tonight, today. She said, "You know, being young is great. And you asked me why, or you might think, why are you so doggone emotional? And if you do, I'll answer it. Now, I lost a 19-year-old son in a car wreck. It doesn't get any easier. But he was a Christian. And his grandmother told me the story that she, some people say you're not supposed to ask God for signs. And she was a great woman of faith. And she said she prayed one day and she asked God. She said, "If he's in heaven, would you have a dove fly and land on the wire into the house?" And she said, just like that he did. There was a dove flew and landed on the electrical wire into the house. It doesn't get any easier, but you learn to deal with it. I'm not sure what the outcome will be, but I know James 5 says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And folk, there are righteous people in here. And I will also tell you, and you may think this is weird, but we're not a bunch of weirdos. that it said, if there's any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church and said, anoint him with oil in the name of Jesus that they might be healed. And we had some missionaries here from Spain that gave me a bottle of oil. It's never been opened. I've been saving it for a special occasion. It isn't any more special than tonight. And I know Jake has a lot of friends here. And I'm going to ask some of you to come up. And I want to anoint you with oil on behalf of Jake. And we're going to pray for it. I don't care if one comes or every one of you come. But I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he can be healed. So before we pray, and I don't care, again, how you do it, sit, stand, lay down, doesn't make any difference. But if you would come up, somebody, if at least one person would come up and stand in for Jake, we're going to pray for him. And then I'm going to ask you to pray for him. Just line up. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And we come here for Jake Phelps. And Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you touch that body of that 20-year-old young man. And that somehow, Lord, some way, only you know how to do it, and only you know what his needs are. But God, we believe that what you said is so true that we can come to you in the name of Jesus and we can ask anything. And Lord, on behalf of myself and this church and each and every person out here, we ask that, Lord, and I thank you specifically for these that have come on behalf of Jake to stand in for him. And Lord, we just ask you in the name of Jesus to eradicate that cancer out of his body. And Lord, to touch him and give him life again. Not just health, but resurrection. A resurrected body, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. It's not about anything that we do, Lord. It's about Jake. And it's about him being healed and you receiving the glory. Lord, you've been good. You've touched people in this congregation. You have touched lives here. And we believe that there's no reason that you wouldn't touch him. So, Lord, somehow, some way, with your life and your love, we just pray, Father, for Jake. And Lord, we just pray that the needs that he has and the issues that he has in his life, Lord, will be healed. Lord, we're thankful for each and every person that have come here tonight, Lord. And we just, we give you thanks for them. We give you thanks, Father, for their faith, for their belief and their trust. And Lord, no matter what our level of belief is, we know that there is a God. And Lord, we know that you want us to call on you and you want us to bring things to you. And so, Lord, as we conclude this corporate prayer, we're going to take time and pray individually. And we're going to take time to call upon you, Lord, and to believe that Jake will be healed. And that we will see him walk through these doors with this group of young people, rejoicing as a lame man did when he picked up his bed and walked. Or as the man with the withered hand reached out. Or the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. Or as Wayne and Linda's son. Or as Todd's uncle. We serve a risen God. And as Hezekiah said, they were gods of wood and stone. But we serve a God seated on the right hand of God. And Jesus, who came and walked on this earth and died and gave us life and breathed the breath of life into us and blessed us with his Spirit. So, Lord, we commit this time to you. We commit this part of the service to you. And Lord, as we pray individually, bless those prayers we ask you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we've followed your word. And so now we have to believe. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this prayer, this time together, and for the opportunity to agree on earth that Jake will be healed. And he is healed because you died on that cross. And your prophet Isaiah said, because of your stripes we have healing. And so, Lord, boldly we call on you tonight to touch Jake. Lift him out of that sickness, out of the depression, out of the things that he's going through, and resurrect that life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me encourage you to spend some time now just continuing to pray. The other thing that we need to do, and once we prayed, we need to begin to thank God for hearing the prayers that we're praying, and start giving him thanks and start praising him. I know it sounds difficult, but that's the pattern. That's the way he laid it out for us. He says, pray, believe, and thank him. Thank you for representing Jake. I know it means a lot to him. He's got a great bunch of people that are surrounding him. Encourage him. Make him laugh. Cheer him up. But the most important thing you can do is let him know that you're thinking about him and you're praying for him. Every day. Don't let a day go by. want us to also keep in mind as we pray this issue with heroin. We are getting involved here somehow, some way. And so, you know, just keep that in mind if you would. We need to eradicate that. Let's spend a few minutes praying, just thanking God for hearing us.